Go with me, if you would, back to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. I have always loved this chapter. I've always loved hearing this account. I love this account. I've always loved what the angel said to these women who came to the tomb to bring spices to their Lord. And I pray that the Lord will open this up to us. I was just sitting here thinking a minute ago, I pray that we'll get out of Easter for just a minute. And let's get into worship for just a minute. May the Lord bless us. May the Lord help us. May the Lord teach us something and send His Spirit to us and open our eyes and open our ears and open our hearts and let us truly see something, something concerning eternity, something that matters. Nothing else does. Nothing on this earth matters. But I pray the Lord will truly, truly, truly open this up to us and show us something about salvation. Here we're going to look at this story, and I pray when we leave here, we will have seen something concerning the truth of eternity and salvation. That's my prayer. I pray the Lord will let us read between the lines and see it in these women right here. So Matthew 28, verse 1, it says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week." And what that means is, when Saturday night was over and Sunday morning began. Verse 1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher." It's so precious to me how much emphasis the Holy Ghost has put on Mary Magdalene here and everywhere she's mentioned. Everywhere she's mentioned. There were other women with them. Mark's account says that a woman named Salome was there, who is the mother of James and John. And then Luke's account says there were certain others with them. So there were other women there, right? There were other women with them. But Mary Magdalene is the only one who had a bad report. She's the only one. Mary Magdalene had seven devils inside of her when the Lord came to her. She came from a city called Magdala. She is Mary the Magdalene. Came from a city called Magdala, which was known, different cities and different places are known for certain things. Well, Magdala was known for its whoredom. If a person was looking for whoredom, you go to Magdala. If you were from that city, you had a reputation. But of all the women who came, the Spirit of God opened this chapter and opened this precious event by saying Mary Magdalene was there. It says, and the other Mary too. Yeah, the other Mary, she was there too. Verse 1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher." The first thing I want us to notice about salvation is salvation is for sinners. I want us to realize that. I want us to notice that, because I'm going to tell you that everybody thinks, I mean everybody, everybody thinks that salvation is for those who are not sinners. And it's just not so. It is just not so. Salvation is for sinners. It is for sinners. Now, these women were coming to anoint the Lord's body with spices. And you think about that. You think about the depth of the love and the respect and the reverence that these women had for their Lord. They weren't just coming to lay flowers on the headstone. People will do that. You'll go out to the graveyard and you'll lay some flowers on the, and you'll honor the. They didn't come to just lay flowers on the headstone. They wanted to go inside the tomb. You talk about commitment. You talk about zeal. Turn with me over to Mark chapter 16. This is Mark's account of the exact same event. Mark 16, verse 1, it says, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" They didn't want to just anoint the grave. They wanted to anoint his body with their spices. And the reason they wanted to do that is because they thought he was seeing corruption. That's the reason why. Their Lord had died on Friday. And this is now the beginning of Sunday. And just like when the Lord commanded them to roll away the stone from Lazarus's tomb, Martha said, "Lord, he stinks already. It's not going to smell good in there. He stinks already." I'm sure that these women had it in their mind that the Lord was seeing corruption. And they needed to do their part. They meant well. I know they did. But they believed in their heart that they needed to bring their good things, the things that they could offer, to make his sacrifice more pleasing and more pleasant. And that's what men and women do. When these ladies got there, though, when they got to the heart of the matter, they realized he doesn't need our spices. Verse 4, it says, "And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great." They immediately realized there's nothing here we can do. And I hope the Lord will send his spirit right now. "Dear Lord, come into this place. Reveal this to us. Let us read between the lines." We're talking about salvation. We're talking about eternity. All right, these women came. They got there. They came to the place where the rubber meets the road, and they realize there's nothing here we can do. We should have left our spices at home. We went and bought all those spices and prepared all those spices. We should have left all that at home. There is nothing for us to add here. There's nothing for us to add our spices to here. There's no death here. I thought there was something here that provided a need from me. There's no stench here. All that's here is a messenger with some good news. Mark 16, verse 5 says, "And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid." They were afraid. The first thing they saw when they got there struck fear into them. When they came to the truth of what happened in the tomb, and this is what they saw. They saw the truth of what happened in the tomb. And when they came to that truth, it struck fear into them. And that's what happens every time someone is confronted with the true reality of what happened in Christ's tomb. It strikes fear. Go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. This is Luke's account of the same event. Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, those men, those angels, those messengers said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Those messengers said, and this is what will happen. Those messengers said, and this is what the Spirit of God, through His message, through His messenger, this is what it said to their hearts. "What are you doing?" This is why they were so afraid. "What are you doing?" I pray that that question might be asked to me in my heart. "What are you doing?" Fear struck them. It bowed them down. It stopped them in their tracks. They were coming on their sorrowful but merry way, happy to do what they were doing. And it stopped them in their tracks. And those messengers said, "Why did you come expecting death in a place where only life is? Why did you come thinking that you could and needed to add anything to the sweet-smelling savor of life that is already here? Why would you think you needed to add something to what has taken place right here?" I pray the Lord might ask us that question. No corruption was ever in that tomb. Only the sweet-smelling savor of life. You think about it, the life of God Himself was in that tomb. The life of God Himself poured out of that tomb. It was such a sweet-smelling savor. I would venture to say no other place in Jerusalem smelled as sweet and as alive as the inside of that tomb did. Life poured from it. My center margin in my Bible, I have a reference, and it gives scriptures, it gives meanings of words. And in verse 5, where it says, "the living," my Bible says that translates, "him that liveth." "Why seek ye him that liveth among the dead?" Why are you viewing him as being helpless and dead? Lord, confront me with this question. Please, confront us with this question. Why are you viewing him as being helpless and dead? They said, "Don't you know this is the living God?" Why are you viewing him as needing you to do something for him and to help him? "We're going to go, what are we going to do today? We're going to get up and get dressed and gather our things and we're going to go help Jesus. That's what we're going to do." Why are you viewing him as needing to help him or do something for him, or make his sacrifice better and sweeter and more pleasant. They said, don't you realize he just did something for you? These women came to the Lord Jesus Christ, as many people do, bringing the works of their own hands with them. And we just heard a Bible study on that very thing. Bringing the works of their own hands. They brought all the things they had prepared. They came bringing their own part. Well, this will be my part. I'll get this and bring this, and this will be my addition. This will be my offering. That's what mankind naturally thinks he's supposed to do. He means well. Those dear ladies, they meant well. But that's what mankind naturally thinks he needs to do in regard to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And man thinks that he can add his good fragrance to the work that Christ has done. But if a sinner comes to Christ and is met with the message of truth, if the Lord in his mercy meets a sinner with the message of truth, that sinner will hear the same thing these ladies heard. This is what they were told. You're too late. That's the message I have for all of us this morning. We're too late. This is what they heard. The work is done. Come here, look. It's over. You're too late. It's over. God is already satisfied. You come trying to satisfy God. God is already satisfied. Death has already been conquered. Well, I'm going to do this because I don't want to die. Well, death has already been conquered. Life has already been accomplished. You know, Christ crucified is a sinner's only hope of glory. That's the message we preach. Christ crucified. Christ crucified. What that means is what Christ did on the cross. Why was Christ crucified? Well, it's because the Pharisees didn't like him. That's not why. It's because he ended up in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's not why. Well, he was crucified so he could show us how to make your body a living sacrifice to God so you can follow his example and be saved. That's not why. He was crucified because God the Father made him to be the lamb slain for the sin of his people. And it's only blood that can put away sin. And God the Father took the sin of all of his people and laid it on his own precious darling son. And God the Father nailed him to that cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, no man takes my life from me. I lay down my life. He sovereignly bowed his own head and gave up his own ghost. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my own spirit to you. And with all of that sin and all of that death being accomplished and put away, all the suffering that God, you know, the wages of sin is death. And, you know good and well, if you break the law, you got to pay the sacrifice. You got to pay the price. Well, with the price being paid, God the Father raised him from the dead. And he is raised from the dead. It's finished. Christ crucified is the only message of hope that Christ would do all of this for his people. But the messenger said, and the message says, don't go to the tomb looking for the king. He's not still trying to accomplish this sacrifice. He's not still here. Well, he's still there trying to get it done. No, he's not. This sacrifice is finished, and the king is seated on his throne. They said, why are you here? Why are you here? That is the message of the tomb. That's the message of the cross. It's finished. That's the good news. And I'll never forget the Lord revealed whenever he, you know, he's still dealing with me and revealing to me. And I don't have any idea when the Lord saved me. I tell people it's a span over about 20 years, somewhere within 20 years. I don't know. People can give a day and a time and event. I can't. But the Lord started revealing to me all of these things that the Bible says, if you don't do this, you're not going to heaven. If you do this, not for you, and I'd read that and think, I do that. And there's things in here that I have not done. And when God revealed to me everything that the Holy Triune God has commanded of me to do, Christ did it for me. And when he revealed to me everything that this thing tells me, if you do that, you're going to pay the penalty, Christ paid it for me. The moment he revealed that to me, it set me free. It totally set me free. And I realized all these things that it says, do, 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 it's done. I'm too late. Don't bring my spices. No spices needed. Christ did it. And it's over. Come look inside. He's not here. There's nothing here. That Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon. And Solomon in the Bible is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord made him to be the richest, the wisest, to show us Christ. And that queen, bless her heart, love her heart. She brought all of her stuff. She brought wagon loads to Solomon. She was, you know. But the moment she saw him in all of his greatness and in all of his glory, it slayed her. And she said, I should have left my stuff at home. He doesn't need my stuff. He doesn't need anything I can offer him. And that's what a sinner will realize, who the Lord, by his Spirit, brings to an empty tomb. He doesn't need anything I can offer him. These women came to a sacrifice thinking that there was work to be done. You know that was going through their mind. There's work to be done. But when they got to the place where they thought they could help him, they were confronted with the message of his greatness and his glory. And at that moment, their helpless Savior became their living Lord. That's what happened. That's what happened. Now go with me back to Matthew 28. I'll be brief. Matthew 28, verse 1 says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye. They need to fear. They all passed out. But that angel said, fear not ye. He said, I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He said, I know who you are. I know you're a seeker. Just listen to this glorious verse of Scripture. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows who they are. He chose them. He knows every single one of them. Even when they don't know who they are, they look at themselves and say, surely I can't be one of his children. He knows them. In John 6:44, the Lord Jesus Christ said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw that man. But he said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Those women were drawn to this. They were drawn to this. And our Lord said, every sinner who comes to me and sees me for who I am has been drawn to that. And because they were drawn to me, I will in no wise cast them out. To every sinner that Christ died for, once he reveals the wholly finished work of the tomb, the God alone finished work of the tomb, that death, that burial, and that resurrection that Christ accomplished, not just went through, but accomplished. Once God reveals to a sinner that the one who they thought was a struggling Savior is actually the conquering, victorious King of Kings, Lord of Lords, sovereign God, seated on His throne, risen with the eternal redemption that He secured for His people. Once God reveals that to one of His sinful people, the message from the tomb cries, "Fear not. Fear not." Christ accomplished this death for you. For you. This was your death. Have you ever imagined seeing your own tombstone? You ever imagine that? Would you like to see it? Would you like to see your grave? This is your death. If you're in Him, if the Father drew you to Him and revealed who He is and what He's done, this is your death. Why did Christ hang on the cross? Why did Christ, He had no sin in Him. Why did Christ hang on the cross? If there's no sin anywhere, nothing can die. That's why nobody dies in heaven. There's no sin there. It's the whole reason. How could He die? It's because He bore your sin. That was your death. This was your burial. That was your resurrection in Him. And if the Father drew you to Him, that was all for you. He didn't do that for everybody, but He did it for you. This is what a child of God will say here and now. I know because I've said it. How can I know that? I hear you telling me that, but how can I know that? If He doesn't do this for everybody, those keepers, He said, "Fear not, ye." If He didn't do this for everybody, how can I know He did it for me? The message from the tomb cries, "Are you a sinner?" Christ did this for sinners. Christ did this for sinners. You can go around and ask people, you know, put 10 people on a list and go ask them point blank, "Are you a sinner?" And see what they tell you. See how many yeses and nos you get. You won't get many yeses. Or it'll be a really watered down yes. Christ did this for sinners. Now, if we're not sinners, we can't have any hope of Christ doing this for us. But the Apostle Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And I'm so glad that God's apostle, who wrote half of the New Testament, said, "I'm the chief." Doesn't that comfort your heart? The Apostle Paul, he said, "I'm the chief. Woe is me." That's what he said. He said, "That's how I can know Christ died for me. He said He died for sinners, and that's exactly what I am. That's exactly what I am." People like to stand up and give their testimony. Well, here's mine. I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Not because of any spices I brought. It was already done. Nothing left for me to do. Are you a sinner? Ask yourself, are you a sinner? If you are a sinner like I'm a sinner, fear not, ye. Fear not. Take comfort in this right here. Verse 6 says, "He is not here." He's not in that tomb anymore. Why is He not in the tomb? Verse 6 says, "For He is risen." Why is He risen? Because He put away all the sin of His people. It's gone, as He said. He did exactly what he said he would do. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This is something that's been said so many times, but I want to say it again because it's just so glorious. He did not try to save his people. Which is what a lot of people think he did. He did not make salvation possible for his people. He did not do that. He did not start the work of salvation so his people can finish it. He didn't open the door so his people can walk through and close it behind them when they come. He did not do that. He shall save his people from their sins. That's exactly what he did. And that's exactly the reason why God the Father raised him from the dead. It's because he did what he said he would do. He said, Father, the work you gave me to do, I finished it. With life being accomplished for his people, it was no longer possible for death to hold on to him any longer. When a soul outside of Christ dies, they stay dead forever because they cannot ever pay the price. God's never satisfied. But when Christ died for his people, God the Father said, that's the most satisfactory death I've ever seen in my life. God the Father said, amen, raise him. Paid. The Lord willing, we're about to close with a song that says, one day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now is ascended my Lord evermore. My Lord and my God, as Thomas put it. Rabboni, that is to say master, as Mary Magdalene put it. Verse 6 says, he is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. They didn't meet him. He met them. And he said, all hail. And they came and dropped to their knees, dropped to their ground. And they held him by the feet. And they worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept, while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And he was with them, saying many things to them for 40 days. And at the end of those 40 days, if you'll turn with me to Luke 24, we'll close with this. At the end of those 40 days, after he had risen from the dead, Luke 24, verse 50, it says, And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. He told them, now listen to me, I have died and put away your sins. All the blessings of the Father are in me, and you're in me. And you're in his blessing. And he prayed over them, Father, watch over them. I'm coming back to you. While I was in the world, I kept them. I'm praying that you'll keep them. Verse 50, he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And Acts chapter 1 tells us that while the disciples watched him go up, as they were standing there gazing into heaven, two men in white apparel, two angels, quite possibly the same two, they said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" They said, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." They said, this risen, ascended Savior is going to come back down to get you. Just like you've seen him go up, he's going to come back down. One day the trump will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved ones bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. All those things that haunt me and all those things that haunt you, that man, this same Jesus, carried them far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Verse 52 says, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. And that's what we're doing right now. By his grace, we are continually in his house of worship, praising and blessing God, waiting for his return, crying, come quickly, Lord. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Brother Eddie, you come.